All right, good evening. Welcome to this special first Sunday evening of December, which is our annual business meeting, which sounds so mundane, but this is going to be anything but mundane. We loved this particular Sunday evening service to just take time to do some celebrating. So we're going to be thinking about what God has done through the people and the resources of WBC in the past year, in 2024. And he has done a lot of things, and we're going to give him praise for it and reflect on that. And so the order of service, let me kind of walk through what's going to happen, because there's a lot of people participating tonight, so there's not a handout for everyone, but here's what's going to happen. I'm going to lead us in prayer in a moment. And then Kevin and Joe will lead us in singing a couple of songs, and we'll praise the Lord. And then I'm going to take us into the scriptures for a devotional to help us think about a vision for ministry that never changes from 2 Corinthians. And then we're just going to be hearing a series of testimonies, two-minute testimonies from a variety of perspectives through ministries. And here's the order. I'll go over these again so you'll know when you're coming up, but we're going to be hearing testimony through how God worked through our children's Sunday school ministry. Debbie Golly, we're going to hear how God is working through our 2-2 and Titus 2 training ministries, Austin Hall and Becky Goodman. We had one person who's sick. We're not going to hear that testimony. We're going to be hearing about how God has been working through sending many visitors our way through the assimilation ministry. Douglas Gonsalves sharing that testimony, how God's working through our Wednesday evening children's fly ministry. Rex will be giving that, as well as how God's been working through Tri-State Bible College and our partnership with them. Scott Bruns, how God's working through Scioto Hills Expanding Impact Initiative. He's got the thumbs up on that. Adam's going to share a testimony about how God's working through our member care from the perspective of one of our deacons. Dennis is going to come and talk about how God's working through our facility care. Through sending young people to Scioto Hills. I'm looking around to see if she's here, and I don't see her yet. So we have one that was coming, so I won't say that name, but there may be another one coming at that point, and I'll... how God's working through our Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer ministries. Michael Dowell's going to share about that. How God's working through our behind-the-scenes technology team. Haley will be sharing. And then how God's working through our biblical counseling ministry. And Barb Miller will be sharing. After we hear those testimonies about what God's done in 2024, then we'll think about what's coming. And we'll be presenting the new budget and nominations. And you'll be voting on that. And we'll have a special time of prayer at the end of the service for the new year that's coming. So that's where we're heading. So let's pray and we'll do it. Father, we look to you now together, and we are so excited to just praise you, honor you, call attention to you and to the wonderful ways you're at work in our midst. This has been such a good year in so many ways, and we look forward to hearing testimonies to that effect. We're grateful we can be together. Would you bless our time now as we sing, as we open the Word, as we share, as we prepare for the new year and vote on a budget and nominations, all of this. We don't want to take one step in our own fleshly effort. We just submit to you, Holy Spirit, and ask that you would guide in this service. And as Paul says in the text we'll be looking at, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
Well, if we're going to rejoice in what God has done here at Wheelersburg Baptist Church this last year, what better song to sing than what you'll find in your hymnal number 66. Song number 66, let's stand to sing, "To God Be the Glory."
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life at atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
We rejoice in what the Lord has done here through us, to give glory to his name, and we look forward in anticipation to how he chooses to use us on these coming days. Let's turn to number 390. Song 390, May the Mind of Christ My Savior.
May the mind of Christ My Savior live in me from day to day. By his love and power control, all I do and say, may the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Exalting, self-abasing, this is fear.
It's a joy to serve the Lord Jesus with a group of people that mean that. And I find it such a great joy to people that say, forget the channel, it's only about Him. So it's a joy to serve Him together. If you'll take your Bibles, I want to spend just a few moments in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 together. We have a vision for ministry at WBC that's expressed in this wonderful little text. We've looked at it many times before, and it never grows old. It's one of those passages I find myself going back to again and again, just because it's like the north, the compass pointing north for me. Where are we supposed to be going? And you'll see these familiar words in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. God is intent on making Himself known in the world. He doesn't need us, but He has privileged us to be partners with Him in the ministry. And to make Him known, to see this happen as He intends, there are three things that we must always just go back to in this text, beginning in verse 14 and through the end of the chapter. We see the promise, the text that I read verse 14 twice, that's the promise, and then the potential in verses 15 and 16. And then the people in verse 17. I just want us to reflect on these again as we've done before. So the promise, verse 14. The promise is that we belong to a God who deserves thanks, who's always leading us. This is what He promises to do. He will always lead us in triumphal procession in His Son and spread the fragrance of the knowledge of Himself and particularly of His Son everywhere. This is what He's doing in the world. He promises actually two things. He promises to lead us in this triumphal procession in Christ. And two, He promises to make Christ known through us. So He's doing something with us, and He's doing something through us. He's committed to enabling us to know His Son and to know Him better and then to help other people come to know Him. God has committed Himself to doing this. This is such a text that allows us to just take a deep breath and to rest in it. This is not our effort. How in the world are we going to make Jesus Christ known in a world that hates Him? It's a non-issue. He is making Himself known in this world. He has committed Himself to this, and He privileges us to walk with Him. Now, what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is not to make the church grow. Jesus Himself has already said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Our responsibility is simply to walk with the Lord Himself, to cooperate with Him, to be His instruments in this assignment that He has committed Himself to of making Christ known. We can claim this promise. God will cause the ministry of His church to triumph. And our appropriate response then should be, as Paul says here, thanks be to God. It's not like we have to figure out how in the world we're going to make Christ known in this world. God is committed to making His Son known and advancing His Son in this world, and we respond by saying thanks be to Him. Now there's a beautiful cultural imagery that provides the backdrop for verse 14. Paul has in mind what was known as the Roman triumph. The highest honor that any Roman general could ever receive was called a triumph. To attain it, he had to meet certain conditions. He had to have been an actual commander in chief in a field of battle. He wasn't during peacetime. It had to have been during a war campaign. He must have finished the campaign. He must have defeated the enemy, and he must have brought the troops back home. He must have killed at least 5,000 opponents in one engagement. He must have conquered enemy territory. And again, it had to have been over a foreign foe, not in a civil war. If a general accomplished this, that general was entitled to what was known as a Roman triumph. A fabulous procession paraded through the streets of Rome in honor of the victorious general. The triumph was an amazing sight. It was a once-in-a-lifetime sort of an experience. It didn't happen very often. And apparently this is the picture that Paul has in mind as he's talking about what Christ is doing in the world. Christ, right now, is marching in triumph through the world. Christ, who has come as a lamb who was slaughtered and given his life and has conquered death, has returned to heaven, is actually through his people now, through his church, marching in triumph. And nothing can stop him. 2,000 years ago, he came and he defeated the foe of sin and the evil one and death itself. And right now, he's marching in this triumphal procession. This is what ministry in a local church is all about. WBC, not an exception. Ministry is making known the victorious accomplishment of Jesus Christ to people who are yet in bondage to the enemy. We are soldiers in Christ's procession. The triumph of the ministry is certain. The outcome is certain. God is a people that he's rescuing, and they will be his forever and ever. This is his promise. Apply that just for a moment as you think about the ministries of WBC. Every ministry in this church comes back to this reality. As you see on the banner behind me every week, we exist to make Christ known. Fly exists to make Christ known. Our youth ministry exists to make Christ known. Our seniors ministry, our Sunday school, or cradle, or community center, or biblical counseling. Everything about this church exists for this purpose of making Christ known. And we have God's promise. He is currently at work in this world, making Christ known, leading his people in triumphal procession. And for this we say, thanks be to God who in Christ is doing this. Secondly, we see the potential. And the potential for this ministry is actually twofold. As we take the good news of Jesus to a needy world, the potential just on a human level is vast. When you look around us, there are, if all of the churches in the area were full, and they're not, and if they were all preaching the gospel, and they're not, there would still be incredible potential. There are 100 church buildings, give or take a few, within 15 minutes of here. And if they were all full again, if they're not, and there's 32,000 or so people within 15 minutes of here, there's maybe one out of three people would even be able to get into a church and have a seat. There's two out of three people that are just non-churched in this area. This is reality. Think about where you live. I think about the people in the 25 houses around us. And the numbers just told. There are many, many people that don't have a constant intake of the Word of God. They're not in a church where they're hearing the Word of God. So the potential in that way is certainly vast, but Paul's talking about it in a couple of different ways. Listen to how he thinks about the potential in verses 15 and 16. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Verse 16, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life, who is sufficient for these things. He begins by saying, for we are. There's incredible potential out there. But there's also potential right here in our midst. We are, according to verse 16, to God, we are the aroma of Christ. We are a sweet savor. Again, this imagery grows right out of the Roman triumph. The eighth party in the procession would be the priests. And they would carry their censers burning with incense, and the smell would reach the nostrils of everyone in the city as they saw this Roman general being honored. How did the people respond to the smell? Well, there were two different responses. To some, the aroma was a fume. Who would that be? Well, that would be the captives, the ones in chains. The smell reminded them of their hopeless condition. It was a smell of death. They had been defeated. They had been conquered by the Romans. But to the rest, the aroma was a fragrance, a sweet smell that reminded them that they had been victorious. This is the way Paul says it is in ministry. Our task is to make Christ known in the world, and the potential is great, but as we minister, we can expect two very different responses to this message of Christ crucified and risen and coming again. To some, he says, the message is a fume. verse 15, it's to those who are perishing that this message is a fume. Well, the gospel is good news to us. It's also bad news to those who reject it, to those who persist in rebelling against God and refuse to repent of their sins and believe in Christ. This gospel is a message of death. It's a reminder to them that something's not right. It's a reminder that they are condemned and doomed to spend an eternity apart from God. To those who are perishing, this message is a horrid fume. Again, Paul certainly paid a price for that which he's talking about. We will not be popular with everybody when we tell them the message that Christ has given us to proclaim, that they're sinners, that there's only one way to heaven. To some, the message is a fume. But thankfully, to some, the message of Christ is a fragrance. Verse 15, that group is identified as those who are being saved. Not everyone will reject this message. By God's grace, the Spirit of God will bring life to some. To some, our message will be a sweet fragrance. So just think for a moment back when you first smelled the sweetness of the gospel. Think back, I was an 11-year-old boy, and I heard this amazing message about this God who had provided a way for me to enter his family. And I heard this message, and the Spirit of God worked in my heart. There was conviction, of course, but then there was this opening of blinded eyes to see the beauty of Christ. And this wonderful fragrance of the gospel became my joy. I haven't even checked to see if it's still here. When we built this building back in, we've done some remodeling up here, so let's see if it's still in the Bible here. When we built this building in 1990, we had everyone that was in the church at that time to do the following. We, in fact, it says right on here, let's read it. December the 9th, 1990. And we had preached a message from 2 Corinthians 4 in that morning service and wrote these words and announced this to the people. Lost people matter to God. They matter to us as well. Enclosed are the names of people presently lost with minds blinded to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By submitting these names, I, as the individual who submitted the names, will do the following. 1. Pray for these lost people regularly. 2. Ask God to allow me to build a relationship of integrity with these individuals with the purpose of allowing me to see them to see the light of Christ in me. And 3. Give God the glory for what he does in these lives. And you may be on these cards here. I mean, there were people that submitted the names of people that they were committed to praying for, reaching out to, and giving God glory for. And this church has been about this for a long time. And this goes back to this responsibility that we're seeing in 2 Corinthians. We are here to make Christ known, and we celebrate when this message of Christ is received as a fragrance. I say that to say this. Maybe you've shared Christ with someone who has mocked you or ignored you or has resisted you, and you've found yourself clamming up and saying, well, what's the sense of this? I'm sure Paul felt that frustration. He concludes verse 16 by saying, who is equal to such a task? He felt overwhelmed at times, as anyone does, when there's resistance, resistance, resistance. But when it comes to potential, the simple facts are these. To some, the gospel is an offensive fume, but we keep spreading it because to others it is a sweet-smelling fragrance. This brings us to Paul's third point. First, the promise of God. He will lead us in triumphal procession and spread the fragrance of Christ throughout the world. Secondly, the potential is that we are the aroma of Christ. Wherever we go, we have this effect. People see Christ and hear of Christ through us. And then thirdly, we need to see the people, and specifically, who does God use to make the knowledge of Christ known in the world? Does he use angels? Does he use gospel blimps? Does he use cloud formations? No, he uses people. He uses people just like us, ordinary people that don't have the power to do anything in ourselves. And frankly, here's where it gets messy. Because when people embrace this responsibility of walking with Christ, making him known in the world, we are driven by different motives. And in verse 17, Paul informs us that it's possible to be engaged in ministry with two different motives in mind. That's why I commended you as we sang that song a moment ago, because it reflects the second of the groups. But he talks about in verse 17, there are people ministering with wrong motives. He says, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. In Paul's day, as in ours, there were peddlers who used deceptive means to make an extra buck. They would use false weights to manipulate their buyers. They would adulterate their wine with water. These hucksters tried to make a profit by selling shoddy goods. This is what Paul says some people do in ministry. Now, he's not talking about just people out in the world. He's talking about what people are doing in the name of Christian ministry. And he doesn't say some. He says many. Many corrupt the word. The problem isn't what they say, it's why they say it. Their motives are not correct. They're not in the right frame of mind. They peddle the word of God, but they do it for personal advantage. There's a lot of reasons to be involved in church ministry, and not all of them are good. You can do church ministry about yourself, and Paul's very much aware of that. And if we do that, in the long run, we do a great disservice to the cause of Christ. Motive is certainly key. How can we tell if our motive is correct? This is a good question for us to think about as we assess where we've been and where we're heading in the new year. And Paul talks about people ministering with right motives, and he says, on the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. So, Paul, how can I tell if my motive has been right this year and is right as I head into this new year? And he gives us four tests. Yes, we must speak for Christ. That's a given. But as we do our ministries, whatever they may be, and we're all gifted differently, but we do so with these four tests in mind, and I'll put them in the form of four questions. The questions are what, why, who, and how. The first test is what. What is our perspective to be as we minister? And he says, here it is. In Christ we speak before God. What's our perspective? Our perspectives. I'm somebody who's in Christ. I used to be not in Christ. I used to be dead in my sins, but now I'm in Christ. And so as I'm ministering to you and sharing you my neighbor, or ministering to you the person I work with about Christ, I do so recognizing what is true of me. I'm in Christ. This is not my opinion. This is not something I've come up with. I'm in Christ. Test number one, what? Test number two, why? Why do we minister? He says, in Christ we speak before God. Before God. It is not for personal gain. Our sole ambition as we do our ministry is to please God, to see God get honor and glory. Test number three, who? Who are we seeking to honor as we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ? And Paul continues and gives the next phrase, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. We recognize as we do our ministry that it's God that gave us this ministry. And some of you will be sharing here in a moment about what you've done this year. And it's because God has given you gifts and given you the opportunity, the health, and you've been able to do things. And you have cooperated with God's intention for you this year, and to him be the glory. Test number four is how. How are we to minister? And Paul just simply says, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity. We're not double-faced. I'll do this, but what I really want is to get something for myself. This is all about him, and it's done with sincerity. This is our vision. It's a vision that never changes. We exist to know Christ, and we exist to make Christ known to other people. And it's to that end that we invest our money. We invest a lot of man hours in the church calendar and schedule. Prayer support. Everything that we have as a church goes into this vision of making Christ known in the world. So, let's look back. What happened in 2024? Well, for starters, a year ago at this meeting, we approved a budget of just a little over $250,000. And why did we budget that money as we anticipated this year? And it had to do with this mission right here, our vision for ministry, of making Christ known. Did the budgeted monies come in? Well, yes, praise God, they did, and beyond. The general fund giving through October was $220,000, $32,000 above budget, and it continues to be above budget through even now. How have we used the money the Lord has provided? Well, in about 4 or 5 weeks in the State of the Church address, I'll give a fuller answer to that question. But what we want to do tonight is to hear some real stories about how God used the monies to enable ministries to happen. Through our general fund spending, just to give you some ballpark numbers here, about $50,000 goes for our facilities that we use to make disciples, church building, community center, utilities, office supplies, equipment. About $13,000 goes for disciple-making ministries at home, children, youth, VBS, FLY, whole range of those types of ministries. About $46,000 for making disciples other places. Think of missions, including regional missions. We support ministries like Cradle and Tri-State Bible College in Scioto Hills, and national ministries like Cedarville University and ACBC. And then we have a host of international missionaries, nationals that are involved in international discipleship, disciple-making ministries, with a team of nearly two dozen missionaries serving around the world. About $115,000 is in personnel costs for staff salaries, ministry funds, and so forth, which basically means we pay folks to help equip our disciple makers so we can do ministries here locally and worldwide. So that's enough from me. Now let's take some time to hear. So what has come out of that, all of that this year? And again, let me go through the list of who's coming up, and you just maybe come up when you hear, you know, Debbie's going to be going first, and so maybe the next person, which will be Austin, can join. So when you see the person in front of you come, just come on up and have a seat up here so we can seamlessly move through these. But a variety of ministries where we've been seeing God work this year. So the order will be Debbie Gawley, Austin Hall, Becky Goodman, Douglas Gonsalves, Rex doing double duty with FLY and Tri-State Bible College, Scott Bruns with Scioto Hills, through our member care with Adam Bradley, through facility care with Dennis, through sending our young people to Scioto Hills, Adelina. All right, we're looking forward to her sharing. And then through our Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer ministries, Michael Dow, behind-the-scenes technology team, Haley, and then the last testimony will be through Biblical Counseling Ministry with Barb Miller. So come, Debbie. And if you get lost in that, I'll remind you who you are. So.
I need to pull it down. So in Sunday school in the past year, God has blessed us through both the children that he's sending and the teachers. If you remember a couple years ago, we were praying for kids. We had no kids. We were sometimes one Sunday school teacher, and, you know, I would have all the kids in one room, and we were fine with that. We were fine with teaching those kids. We were not fine with not having kids. So we were praying that God would send families, and he's really blessed in doing that. But then we needed more teachers. So we went from one class to two classes, and generally it was myself and Andrea Willis who would teach those. And then Hannah Phipps came on board because we were able to split into three classes and have multiple children in each class. And then Hannah moved on up to Columbus this summer, and we were like, oh no, we have all these kids and we need help. So we were praying for teachers, and we let the church know that we needed teachers, and God has blessed us with Anthony and Kaylee Haney help some in our preschool class, Fox has come on board, thankfully, and we've been able to split back to three classes again, and also Brooke Bruns has come on so that we have a substitute, which is really, really helpful with that. So God is still sending the kids. We've had new families come this summer that have brought their children to allow us to teach them. We use a curriculum called the Gospel Project. And every 3 years, it takes us from Genesis to Revelation. So my favorite time of the year, just in the last couple months, we've gone from a perfect world and everything new in the end of Revelation back to the next lessons, Genesis and the world new. And then it goes downhill from then. But the project, the Gospel Project, in every single lesson, it shows us that the Bible clearly shows us God's plan for saving man. So every single lesson, no matter who it's about, it shows us how that was looking forward to Jesus and what Jesus did for us. So it's amazing to see the kids take that in. And sometimes you think they're not listening. And then next week you go and you start to review and they answer the questions. And you're like, oh, good, they did get that. So it's a privilege to teach them. It's a privilege to tell them about what God's plan for the world is and what Jesus has done for us.
First of all, what an honor it is to follow Debbie Gulley. Unfortunately, it sounds like you guys are praying for people to show up to Sunday school and you got my kids, so my apologies on that. I promise not to take too much of your time this evening. Pastor asked me to speak about the 2 Timothy 2:2 study. I think a fitting place for us to start out would be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And I'll just read that for us. And it says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." I'm just going to give you a brief breakdown. Man, I really don't like microphones. I'm just going to give you a brief breakdown of what we've been learning over the past year and a half. Fortunately, I'm in Dave Beam's group, and it's been really awesome. I'm accompanying in that group by Ray Brown. It's been really very good, candid conversations. I think that we would both agree with that. Very good, candid conversations. But in this the study, there are 9 things that are talked about. That's what he's referencing in 2 Timothy 2. What are these things that Paul is referencing when he's writing to Timothy? And Pastor, in this work, has set aside 9 things that are covered. Scripture, God, Christ, the relationship between man and sin, salvation, Holy Spirit, holy living, the local church, and end times. So far, we just finished the second lesson of the second year. And so far, the things that we have covered, and I'm not going to go through all of them, it'll keep you here all night, but we've gone through the relationship between Paul and Timothy. We've covered these things, the sufficiency of Scripture, the authority of Scripture. We have covered God, God the Creator, and God and His sovereignty. We finished up last year with the supremacy of Christ, what it is that His person is and what His redemptive work was. And this year, we started back 2-3 months ago. We first started in with a pretty easy topic of the depravity of man. And then we moved on to the souls of salvation. when I laid down last night and I started into prayer, I actually had really no idea about what I was going to talk about today. So I asked God, like, can you give me something here? You know, just a little bit of something. And I felt like I didn't have anything. And I read this morning in my quiet time, finishing up John, the Gospel of John, in the very last verse of John 21, and it hit me. So John 21:25. "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." And really what I want to finish up is that this study is good because this study is about this book. right? And this book contains everything that we have in it for salvation and for holy living. I'm really thankful, first of all, for this church. I'm thankful for this program and what it means to study right thinking about God and right thinking about what our relationship to God is. If you aren't in this study, or if you aren't in a 2-2 group, I'm not sure, is it starting back up next year? Yeah. If you're not in one, I would encourage you to get in one, to go and see what right teaching about God and about his word. So thank you, guys.
I'll be saying some similar things. So I wrote mine out. Otherwise, I'd probably blank out. But I have been asked to share what God is doing in the Titus 2 ministry, but first I want to explain for those who may not know what it is. The curriculum is based on Titus 2, where Paul is directing Titus to identify and teach older women sound doctrine, who will in turn do the same with other women. The goal is spiritual reproducers, who will live in light of sound doctrine and make the word of God attractive in the family. Each lesson has a threefold emphasis of what I must believe, what I must be and do as a woman of God. Each chapter contains a research section, reading, a resolve, and review. We cover teaching about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, salvation, holy living, the local church, and end times, among other things. We meet once a month for 90 minutes for 9 months. The Lord, by his grace, is growing us in the practices of the one another command as we meet together, accepting, comforting, praying, teaching, and confessing to one another. Personally, I have found it to be encouraging and edifying to be with like-minded women, older and younger, who are seeking to continue in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and faithfully live it in their unique spheres of influence, even with busy and sometimes challenging lives. Our Father and the Lord Jesus has entrusted us with guarding and sharing the most wonderful news in the world, and we are women who carry the torch of faith by his authority in our homes, our communities, and our world. 2 Corinthians 3:4-6 reminds us, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. May he be praised.
All right, good evening. All right, so my ministry here at the church, one of the ministries that I have is to connect with new people that is visiting the church or has coming to church for not long. But our ministry, I would say, I can see it started 7 years ago when Lisa and I, we came here, and for a season of I would say a year or so, we have no visitors or have few visitors, and participating on the pastor meetings that we have on Wednesdays, few times we discuss how more people would come to church or how we can more effective to, but never we attack the why. And pastor mentioned this that I never forgot. He said that, Douglas, what you attract the people to the church, that's what you have to keep doing. And for through the 7 years that we are here, we didn't change anything. And we put more emphasis in biblical teaching. And I think that's what we see now, that the biblical teaching of this church through the small to the old has been impactful to you And in that, more people has come in the church. Visitors are coming. So it's a joy to see that we come from one season to another. Was we were praying for visitors, and now we receive them. And it's just a joy to be part of that. So my job or my joy is to greet them and to be a welcome for them, to be a hospital to them, and just I greet them. I try to be welcoming. I try to direct conversations where I can get information where they stand with God, direct information where they live and where they came from, and what they are looking for. And that comes also following up with visits or a talk, or they come to my house for a meal, a phone call, a longer talk after church. And it's a joy that after that, many of them are coming with the same reason. It's the reason is that they want to please God, and they want to look for a place where people do life that is a sincere and with joyful to the Lord. And it is, it's a joy that many of them, they are coming or staying. When I greet them and when I pursue a conversation with them, I never ask them to be a member of this church. My goal is to know if they are Christians and know that they love God, and do, if not, to direct them on that, to add people to their lives where they can receive that direction so they will know the gospel. And after that, if they want to stay here, it's a joy to direct them and the steps to become a member. But it is a joy to see that God has been blessing us with many visitors, and looking around, I can see not just visitors now, but brothers that are now members of this church.
Good evening. Good to be with you. I guess you're going to have to deal with me for two of these. So first I'll talk about FLY here at WBC. Our theme verse for our ministry is just really sort of a verse that expresses the heartbeat of our mission. And it's comes from John 17:3. It says that, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And so every kid, all the kids even tell me that none of them have forgotten this verse. So even if they come to FLY for, you know, a few months and they never come back again, they're always going to know John 17:3. And if they ever wonder what eternal life is, they'll know exactly where it is. It's knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ whom he sent. So we want to make Christ known, to know Christ and make him known. That's what we do at FLY. We just do it through talk, conversations about faith and life, and as young people, youth, faith, life, and youth. That's what FLY stands for. Something we added, I think it was a couple years ago. I don't see Andrea here. But she had a heart to, her and Connie had a heart to feed the kids when they got here. You know, a lot of, not just the kids, but the volunteers even are coming straight from somewhere, and, you know, families are busy. And so if we can provide that meal, and when kids' tummies are hungry, it's hard for them to pay attention. So we feed about 40 to 50 FLY kids per week, which so far this year, that means about 400 to 500 meals. It's a lot of meals. And it's because of your support that we can do that, that we can feed these kids in our community, and then they'll have ears to listen. And so what we've been talking about this fall so far, we're about to transition to talk about humans, anthropology for those more theologically astute, but just people. We're talking about people next, but we've been talking about God all fall. And we've taught the kids each week one of these words or a couple of these words, but we've learned that God is one perfect, good, loving, faithful, and holy God who eternally exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, who created all things and who sustains all things by his word. So they've learned all of that so far. We've built it each week. And then we'll move on, I think, in a couple weeks to anthropology. Fly's built around biblical doctrine discovery. You heard Debbie talk about Sunday school curriculum takes you through the Bible. And so one of the things I realized as a pastor when I was in Illinois is that our Sunday school often helped the kids get into the Bible and study the Bible, but we didn't have a curriculum that taught them doctrine. And so Fly is supplemental in that sense, where you learn theology, you learn basic Bible doctrine. And so that happens in the large group in here, and then it's reinforced when they go to their small groups. They have first through third grade small groups, fourth through sixth grade small groups. And they mostly do the same thing with some variation, but it's focused on kids discovering biblical doctrine for themselves. So first through third graders and fourth through sixth, they have this acronym GROW that they go through. They copy God's word, G, God's word. They copy either the whole verse if they're older or keywords if they're younger. So they write it out and they say it. And then they reflect on it. So the big kids have to do three observations in the verse itself. And then the little kids have to draw a picture that correlates with the verse. And then they offer it up. They pray the verse. So we're trying to teach them to pray the scriptures, not just, you know, it's fine to pray for all kinds of things, but let's pray God's word and learn how to do that. And then walk it out. What are we going to do this week? How are we going to live in light of this text? So they do that each week in small group. And we've had incredible small group leaders to help guide them through that. And then we have games is the other thing that they do. And you might think, well, games, but it builds relationships. You know, you get to build relationships with these kids when you're just playing games in the gym. Some of, you know, and our game leaders, Pete and his team, do a good job, because not all kids like to play dodgeball. You know, but some kids do like to play dodgeball. So we have other things that some kids can do, and then other kids play dodgeball. So we kind of pay attention to, you know, what's the need to try to build the relationship with the key. We're not trying to force kids to do things they don't want to do, but how do we just use that time building those relationships and create a loving and safe experience? One of the reasons I went back to church when I was 19, after I trusted Christ as my Savior, was because I was loved well as a little kid. I mean, really well. And so I felt very comfortable going back because I had that experience. So our volunteers, we have about 15 volunteers in our Fly ministry. We could not minister effectively to these 40 or 50 children without their ministry. So thank you for supporting the Fly midweek ministry. All right. So Tri-State Bible College, for those of you who don't know me, I serve as the president there. I was a student there back in the early 2000s. And I'll just kind of give you a fundraising update, an enrollment update, and then some testimonies from our students. Fundraising, I recently did a comparison between the 4 years prior to when I got there, the 4 years since I've been there, and this isn't to toot my own horn. This is our team and our board working together. But the first 4 years, 2015, 2019, we had a total, fundraising amount of $588,688. The last 4 years, we've had $994,721. So we've made a lot of strides as a team, just being more effective at raising funds for the school. But we've had to as well. You know, things are more expensive than they used to be, and education, there's a lot of technology involved in education these days. So we've had about, in that this last four-year period, about 2,700 different gifts that have come in. The average gift is about $367. We keep seeing just gradual increase as we move from year to year. For example, my first year there, we had an annual giving of $75,000 there, roughly. This last year, we had $271,749. So we're just slowly building and trying to improve that aspect of the ministry. It takes, to have a nonprofit small Bible college, it takes donors. I mean, we don't get most of our revenue through tuition and fees. I hope, you know, you understand that. We try to keep our costs low for our students, try to scholarship most of our students. And so fundraising is absolutely critical as far as a revenue stream. For your part, you guys have given almost $20,000 since 2018. So thank you. Thank you for giving to Tri-State. It's a valuable ministry in Appalachia. I mean, you'll hear some of the testimonies in a moment from students, and you are a part of that in what they're going to say. Now, on the flip side, enrollment has been hard since COVID. And I think most college presidents are saying this, not all. I think Cedarville might be an exception, but I think most college presidents are seeing this. So all of that sort of almost doubling in fundraising, well, enrollment has halved as a revenue stream since 2020. So basically it's a wash. We've increased in enrollment or increased in fundraising. We've struggled with enrollment. And so it's, that's the truth. That's the reality. We have seen some more positive trends. So we've seen a 41% donation revenue increase. We've seen a 43% loss in tuition revenue since 2019. So that's a pretty serious swing. Now, last year we started to see it turn back up. We saw in 23-24, we saw that revenue stream turn up. We saw enrollment go up. This fall has continued that pattern. Things have gone up. Not tremendously, but the right direction. So last fall we had 25 students. This fall we have 34 students. So it's, and significantly more credit hours. So we're seeing we're going in the right direction. There's some other things I could talk about. That's probably a coffee conversation. But that just gives you sort of the overview. Here are some testimonies from students. One student said, and this comes from their ministry competency map, which is an assessment we do where they kind of evaluate their calling. One student said, "Principles of Bible Study has given me a toolbox full of resources I didn't know existed and how to use them for the desired result." Another student said, "This semester has helped me learn a ton of useful knowledge and really grow and learn through tough issues I hadn't had clear teaching on prior. I think that the mentorship from the professors is the most invaluable thing the school offers. The way they talk about the ministry and the tools that you need to succeed is above and beyond everything you could have thought possible from a college this size. I feel like I'm getting an Ivy League education while on the same hand receiving such a personalized program that you can't find anywhere else." So it's just, you know, that just encourages me. A pastor, he's been pastoring for years. He's retired from his first vocation. Now he's just pastoring full time. He said, "This semester has rekindled my love for the scriptures like a fire in my bones." Another student commented, "Working with Professor Jacob Marshall this semester has helped me mature in ministry competency by helping me to understand how to contextualize God's heart and mission in a way that is digestible to most Appalachians." So we're doing the things that are part of our mission, offering access so students can fulfill their ministries. It's just fundraising, we're seeing a lot of success. Enrollment, we've got to figure that out for what this generation is doing with all higher education. So appreciate your prayers in that as we continue to press on. Thank you.
Well, hopefully Saturday Hills will contribute to those who sense the calling of God in their life. That's an emphasis that we're trying to promote these days at camp. Well, I think most of you know this. Would you say this with me? 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God." All the glory of God seems to be the appropriate theme. And two ways I want to share with you tonight about the glory of God. One is the relationship of the camp to the church. People tell us that Saturday Hills is connected to Cedarville at the hip. Well, if that's the case, Siley Hills is connected to Wheelersburg Baptist Church at the neck. I don't know what else to say. Just amazing, right? Pam and I knew that we were going to join this church while we still lived in Colorado because its connection to the camp. And how cool to just see so many things. Three of my staff members who are employed by the camp are employed by the church, right? One of them's a deacon, and others are serving in capacity in different ways. And we just love the relationship that we have here. And so thankful for the church body life that is here and the instruction that's given. Thank you so much for your prayers. So many of you are praying for us and encouraging us and tell us that and contribute in so many different ways. The church itself contributes to our staff, to helping support our staff. And then also, I think this year, Joe, was it 15 kids the church paid for to come to summer camp and to make sure that they have an opportunity to be part of camp ministry. And there's so many other ways that so many are involved, volunteers that come out and help on a regular basis as well. So to God be the glory for the relationship we have with the church. To God be the glory for the fact that He allows us to have an effective ministry to campers year-round. It's overwhelming to see how God uses our hills. 30 students came to faith this summer. We are never sure of the total amount of spiritual decisions that are made in our camp setting. We don't hear about all those, and we have a ton of things happen at the guest group retreat season. Oftentimes we don't hear about those, but we know that the Lord is using our setting to produce and grow Christ followers. This last year, Justified was our theme, and Titus and three of the young kiddos that came to faith went home and told their parents they were justified at camp this summer, which is a cool thing, right? They were made right, and they understood it. They were made right with God because they were, before they got to camp, they were not right with God, and they understood that. We were on 17 retreats during the school year, fill in with a bunch of other guest groups. In the summer, we ministered to about 200 people, campers a week in the summer. And then during the school year, we averaged about 75 people a weekend. And the thing is, we could be content with that. And the problem is we've got more room, to do, more. And, so we could, just continue as is and do what we're doing and provide the ministries we're doing. But the Lord's laid it on our heart to not be satisfied with that. We can serve more in the summers. We can serve comfortably about 250 a week, just even in our ministries. And in the guest group season, the school season of the ministry, we can serve easily 200 a week. We can do that without hiring any more staff. And so we want to be able to continue to provide more ministry options for folks. We have 600 churches on our mailing list, and about 50 of those are regularly involved with the camp, and another 50 are, I would say, semi-regularly involved with the camp. Now, in light of that, we have been burdened about this expansion program. We shared that back in August, I believe, with what's going on. We had our launch date here back in October, and we're excited about what's happening there with expanding our impact, is what we've called it, and adding another meeting space, another chapel area, so that we can take in more groups to have them have a more comfortable place to meet in their opportunity to be at the camp, and typically a retreat setting. And then provide family ministry options to provide better cottage options, better housing options for folks. Just to give you an update, the cottages, we have met with some EPA stuff with regarding septic. And I just signed some papers this week on some stuff regarding what kind of septic system we have. We'll be talking about that at our board meeting coming up. And so we've invested then our time and energy in the meeting space. And if you haven't been out to camp, the foundation's been laid, the back wall's in, front wall is being done, and we have People coming down from Grace, people coming from Atlanta, and Dan Lichty's come up from Florida, that tomorrow they're going to start framing the chapel ministry space. And so we will have actually a six-person Spanish-speaking team coming from Atlanta to help us put that up, and some others as well. So if you are bored this week, and you want to come help carry some boards or lift some 80-pound blocks and help us do a wall, we're going to start tomorrow with that. We may even feed you lunch if you come out. But we just feel like the Lord's laying that on our heart. The whole project's about 1,600,000 or so. And currently, as of today, we're at about $116,000 that have been donated. The church's fall offering is designated for that. Praise the Lord for that. There are three or four other churches right now that are doing the same thing. So we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do. And many other folks have talked to us about contributing. So we'll trust him in trying to get everything done we can with the monies that he provides. And we say all to the glory of God. Thank you.
Good evening. So as you've probably come to find out over the last year, I'm not the greatest at coming up here and speaking in front of you fine ladies and gentlemen. But I appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight and to serve as a deacon over the last year. And it's a joy to be a part of the church and a group of strong spiritual men that love the Word and love its people. And that's the one thing that I've learned over the last year is how much these men love on its people. And so under the leadership of Dave, we have met regularly throughout the year, and we spend hours in prayer for each of you, individually, as a group, for the church. And so when you receive that text or that call each month, or hopefully maybe even more regular than that, about prayer requests or praises, it may be a little like small talk. I sort of still feel that way when I come up to someone after the church service and ask how you're doing, what can I pray for you just realize that we are spending time in the Word and then spending time in prayer for you and for the needs of the church. A couple other things I jotted down here. There's a lot of meals that go out. I know that's most of the ladies here have been involved in that, but that's coordinated through our deacon groups, deacon care groups. And I know there's a lot of meals going out throughout the year and even today. We as a deacon group also meet with the new members of the church. So, you know, this past year we've had a lot of new members, and so we will meet with them and just learn their walk with Christ and their experience with Christ and just hear them out and try to get to know them in a little short bit of time, but that's something else we've done this past year. As I continue my term, I guess it is, as deacon, the next couple years, I just ask that you pray for me and for my growth, for my ability to get up here and talk to you folks. And that brings me to a verse that I'd like to share, and I'll close with this. And it's 2 Peter 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faithful goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So my prayer is that I'll be effective and productive, and we will be that as a deacon group. Thank you.
You did really well, Adam, okay? Just for everybody, you did really well. Anthony wasn't able to be here tonight, so I'm substituting for him for the trustees. First of all, as trustees, I want to thank Joe Golly and Dave Bowe and Anthony Haney, my partners in crime the past year or so, and especially Joe and Dave, who are retired, and they have some extra time on their hands, and they cover some bases where Anthony and I aren't able to do so, so I appreciate the work of those men here at the church during the day. Some projects we've worked on, and I never think we did anything. I had one or two things, and I started making a list after you asked me, Pastor, this morning, and we added a glass and a classroom door in the end of the hallway there, so we'll comply with our child protection policy. A few areas where Sunday school classrooms were painted. I guess the biggest undertaking for us was the new hallway. Some people haven't been upstairs, but the woes are good there all the time. There was a new hallway that was added to the gym above, the room above the gym. And I want to thank Richard for the project lead on that. I know Ed worked on that. I think Greg had some time and some others helped there. I remember that as a project, Joe had painted and we had to put cove base down. Woman and I came over on a Saturday and we were putting the cove base down, putting some tile strip there to transition there between the two new area. And Wilma said, you know, she's on her hands and knees putting this cove base down. She says, you know, this morning I didn't know what cove base was, and here I am installing it. So I'm thinking, that's what a trustee's wife does right there. Just recently this summer, we just replaced a new shingled roof here in the sanctuary, 30-year warranty, so somebody else had to take care of that later on, you younger people, Adam, all right. Then we added the new metal in front of the community center, which I think really looks nice compared to the old shingles that were over there. We approved about a month ago the new flat roof that will be installed between the sanctuary and the gym that covers the classroom back here and Joe's office there. We had some leaks there, and the fixing of the leaks was costing some money, and I thought, let's just get that taken care of. This Friday, we've had this area blocked off in the gym and lower level because we had the floors cleaned and waxed, and it looks really, really nice down there. And so we'll thank the Harold and Hank Dye for doing that for us at a small cost to the church for materials and stuff like that. I want to say a big thank you to Steve Riepenhoff. Back in the spring, we had a request go out to the church for somebody to take care of the flowers out front. And Steve doesn't say a whole lot. He's kind of a quiet person, but he said he would do it. I think Steve was here probably about every day, wouldn't you think, Joe? And he didn't take care of the potted plants out front. You got to pick up if I say potted plants. So anyway, took care of the potted plants out front, but he took care of all the landscaping and stuff like that. Did a tremendous job. And Steve, I just want to say thank you for that. And those are the little things like that you don't think go notice, but they really do. And we appreciate that. Let's see, where are we? Oh, got another story. When you get old like me, you get stories. So, the church approved about 3 or 4 months ago. We had a leak in the church, and this is another thing. It was Sunday school. The mantle boy came up and said, "We got a leak." His eyes were this big. "We got a leak in the basement." And we had a pipe going bad downstairs. And this was like 9:20, and I was trying to teach Sunday, getting ready to teach Sunday school, and went down there. We got the water shut off finally, by 10:30, that leak was repaired, and we had water back on the women's bathroom because of Richard and Dan Edwards and people like that, and just a blessing when people step in and help in situations like that. But when that happened, Anthony said, man, that's a problem. If we hadn't been here Sunday morning, that'd been a real issue. So he started doing some research on a water detection device, and you know, when you get old, you think, yeah, water detection device, how's that going to work? And so Anyway, he did some research, and we took it for the board. It was like $250 for this water detection device. And what it is, you put on this side of the water meter, and then you have we have a box that's in room 108 there that connects to the Wi-Fi, which connects to his phone. And so he installed it, did all the work, and set it up. Well,
no news is good news until one Sunday when I got home about, 1 o'clock or 1:15, and I get a text from Anthony. He says, "Dennis, you might go to church because I think we have a water leak over there. Something's leaking," he says. So I said, "We'll go over." And whenever we came over here, and the women's bathroom toilet was leaking. That was when Pastor Brad was in Nepal. We had community groups. Nobody would have been in this church until Wednesday. And the water that we saved, that one text, saved the church what that device cost. All right? Wouldn't have had any damage, but just the water bill, because we've had that before, right, Joe, when the toilets run. So just thankful for Anthony doing the research and getting that thing, and it's just a blessing for that. But most importantly, from us trustees, we can't do anything without your support, financial support. Steve, Richards, the Eds, the people like that that come and help them small projects that we need around the church. So we appreciate that. But, you know, we have to have money to do some projects that we don't have the skills to do. So we appreciate that. And Pastor's already talked about the blessing of the gifts and the givings that we've received this year. So we thank that. Again, I want to thank the trustees for all their efforts, especially Dave and Joe with their work here during the day. And then just continue to bless our church if it be will of the Lord. And may bless you all.
We wanted somebody to share about what it was like to go to Scioto Hills this summer. And Adelina, you want to share with us?
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to hold it so you can read? Are you going to read from there? I'll just hold it.
Hi, my name's Adelina Rons, and I'm 8 years old. Here are some fun things that I did at camp. I did rock climbing, and I really liked it. I did crafts. I colored a snake for my craft. Also, I went to the lake. About my camp counselor. My camp counselor was nice, and she taught my group by taking us to a cabin activity in the woods. At the activity, we all had to stand on the same square and balance on the square together without falling. It taught me to work together, and we need each other to accomplish things. What I learned at chapel. I learned about justified. Justified means to be made right with God because of what Jesus did for us.
Wow. Thank you, Adelina. That's great. That's great. Just take a deep breath now, because we're not done yet. This has been good, though. We've got more to hear from. I don't have my list. Who's next on that? Okay, Michael.
Tough to follow. Good job. All right, so this is Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer meeting. Kind of turned into a little bit of a testimony. I didn't plan that out, but before I was on staff at WBC, I must admit my Wednesday night attendance was spotty at best. And because of our afternoon staff meetings, I ran out of excuses, and so I started coming, and then now obviously it's kind of my job to be there, so I'm there. But it's only been a blessing to be there. It's easy to find excuses or to be too tired or whatever, but to come together with brothers and sisters in Christ midweek, to hear the word taught, spend time in prayer, fellowship together. And the Lord has often encouraged my soul on Wednesday nights, and I'm sure it's true for the others that come as well. And hearing stories lately of even finding difficulty in finding a church that preaches the scriptures, that preaches expositionally, I've come to realize how truly blessed we are not to just hear excellent messages from the Word on Sunday morning, but also gather together midweek to hear the word taught and participate in Bible study and discussion, because that's the core of what happens on Wednesday nights, opening the word together. And for the past year, we've been walking through 2 Corinthians, benefiting greatly from a book whose the main theme of which is affliction with purpose. So relevant and so practical, so profitable. It's been a blessing to hear several of our men expound the scriptures. The Lord has really raised up a lot of men here who help out with that. Dave, Kevin, our pastors, Douglas, Rex. Rex is teaching this Wednesday. Right, Rex? Yeah, still good for that. Douglas is the Wednesday after. Yeah. So it's really a cool thing, Scott. Really cool thing to hear from different men in the church and see how the Lord has raised those men up. And I think it's in some ways it's 2 Timothy 2:2 happens on Wednesday nights as well. So it's not just an opportunity for anyone to come and be challenged and encouraged by the Word, but also to give opportunity for some of the men, including myself, opportunities to teach and to grow in that. During the summer, we used Wednesday nights, pastor-led, as I was out at camp, checking in with our missionaries on our missionaries and different ministries that we're involved with that we support. And so that's a really cool thing to hear, to use Wednesday nights to hear about what the Lord is doing through our people, through this church and people we're supporting abroad. Each Wednesday we pray together as well. It's been a gift to have our deacons lead that time, letting our requests be made known to God together as a body, and lifting each other up and hearing how the Lord has answered prayers again. Just midweek, it can be such an encouraging thing. So it's hard to quantify, you know, what the Lord has been doing Wednesday evenings, but we're diving into the Word. We're wrestling with the hard stuff together, hard texts together, going through line by line and interacting with it practically and personally. And so we know that the Lord is always using the ministry of His Word. Our people are being lifted up in prayer and being encouraged in fellowship as well. None of that is because of me. You know, I help organize it now, but I'm just continuing on what we've always been doing. And the Lord's been using that as we're able to, as 2 Corinthians 1 talks about, comfort others with the comfort that we've received from the Lord and vice versa, just by coming together at another time. And as I said this morning, we'll be finishing up 2 Corinthians in December and have a series through the Psalms, Messianic Psalms. And then Rex is going to lead us after that in some equipping and outreach and evangelism. So it's really what a lot of what the church is about is equipping the saints for the ministry of the Word so that we can continue to, well, know Christ together when we come together, but also be equipped to make Him known as we leave this place. And Wednesday nights is a part of that. So,
let's see. I'll just hold it. So Adam is backward. I'm even more backward. I don't think I've ever been in front of the congregation. So that is why I am behind the scenes majority of the time. I'm back there doing the computer work. So I've been on the tech team now for the last several years, and it's been a joy to be a part of such a great and growing team. If you've never been behind the scenes on doing the computer, the live stream, or the soundboard, which normally Aaron is the only one that touches the soundboard, unless Dennis or Adam will do it. But it is such a blessing to be back there. It is, you get a totally different perspective than just being out here. So what we try to do is do things that go unnoticed so that it doesn't disrupt the service. We want to make sure that you guys don't notice anything, because if we mess up on a slide or we mess up on the sound, we don't want to take the attention away from worshiping God. Now, we are all human and we all do make mistakes, but we try not to. So listening to the congregation with the headphones is such a blessing. If I encourage every single one of you to go back there on a Sunday morning and put the headphones on and listen, because you get a listen. It's different too with the live stream also. So it is very neat to listen to that. It's been amazing to see how far we've come since Adam and I started attending here in 2010. When we first started attending here, we had the overhead projector over here, and we were singing songs on the wall. And on Wednesday nights, we had the overhead projector, and Pastor would do those over here. So it is really neat to see all the different things that we have done. So with technology, it's amazing to see that we can share the gospel worldwide. We can listen to Pastor when he's across the world. People can listen to our live stream anywhere. Over the years, we have seen many people come and go, and I've told Adam this all the time. I'm like, oh, that person's leading worship and they're leaving, or this person's doing that and they're leaving, but God continues to bring people to work for his kingdom. And this past year has been a testimony to that. We've had a lot of people that have led worship that have moved on, and we've had people that have also helped us back there, but we keep on getting new volunteers, and I feel like that is a great testimony, especially for Adam and I, because we have been training Aaliyah and Adria, our nieces, back there. So it's neat to see young people wanting and willing to learn how to do things to worship God. I'm a firm believer in Proverbs 22:6, train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So that is kind of, this is not something for the tech team, but that's mine and Adam's goal as an aunt and uncle, is to train up our nieces and nephews and all the children here at the church. We would be happy to train more people. You do not have to be young. You can be older. We'd be happy to help more. Aaron's shaking his head. We would love to train anybody that is willing to learn. I know some people are like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to mess up. But like I said, we're all human. We do make mistakes. So I just want to leave you with these verses, 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks, oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
So I was asked to talk about the biblical counseling here. As you all know, this church is a certified training center for biblical counselors. And this January, we're going to start again a brand new group of people, and probably some repeat people that come for the training Monday nights from 6 to 9 for 12 consecutive weeks. It's very intense training, but it's just so worthwhile. You don't have to want to be certified to come to these classes. You're welcome to come and just learn for yourself. So I've been counseling here since 2003, and I'm learning more all the time about people's problems. This little booklet here is my schedule book. And I've got all the names of the ladies that I've seen this past year in this book. I haven't graduated to using my phone yet. I still like paper in my hands. But as I look at the names of these ladies and remember their faces and remember the reasons that they call here for help, I'm just reminded about how much suffering there really is in the world. Many people that you run into are desperate, hurting, and suffering, but don't often tell anybody. I think it takes a lot of courage to call here and ask for help from a perfect stranger that you've never seen before. They come in and talk to me or whoever is doing the counseling and just telling me their story. And just bearing their soul, and it's just talking about things that are very hard to talk about. I hear, you know, issues about marriages falling apart, or there's just no love left in the marriage, or depression, anxiety, anger, bitterness, all of these things, people come and they're wanting some help in what to do about this. They're stuck and they don't know what to do. And I have found, I don't know if it's just this year or if it's just being more clear to me, I have found that downstream from all those problems that I just mentioned is often the problem of unforgiveness. People are hurt deeply by something or a series of many things. They're just hurt and they've never really dealt with forgiving the person that offended them. And by the time I, you know, get to know them better and we start talking about this, I realize it's very difficult to forgive. I've been in seasons myself where I'm stuck in unforgiveness. And you might say, Barb, you're a counselor. Why do you get stuck in unforgiveness? Well, it's true. The seasons of unforgiveness for me last much shorter now than they used to because I'm learning some things, progressing a little bit. But I really appreciate a sermon series by Milton Vincent. You may know his name as the author of the Gospel Primer. He has a 12-part sermon series on forgiveness online. I listen to that maybe every year, at least once a year. And I recommend it highly, and I give it as homework assignments to my counselees often. And I found that the one thing, I don't want to sound preachy here, but I just have to share with you what I think is the most important thing to know about forgiveness. And that is that when you're stuck, you need to go to the cross and you need to stay there a long time and don't move from the cross. When you look at the cross, you see somebody really suffering, really hurting. And like Milton Vincent says, that picture is forgiveness. That is forgiveness. That's what it looks like. And that's why a lot of people don't want to do it. It's too painful. It looks like death. That's exactly what it is. When you forgive, you die. And it hurts. But when you get on the other side of it, there's freedom and there's joy and there's peace. But in order to get from point A to point B, it takes grace and it takes getting down on your knees and asking God to help you do what you can't do by yourself. And he does. He always does. So that's just a little snippet of things that I end up talking about with my counselees. And I have to say that not all of them make that decision. It's too hard. They'd rather stay bitter. But some people do, by the grace of God, make that decision and they move forward and they become the people that God wants them to become. Their circumstances may not change at all, but they change and they are so grateful.
Wow, thank you so much, everybody. I am sorry I asked too many people to share, but I wanted to hear. We really believe in accountability here, and like if you're going to approve a big budget and you're going to approve hours being invested in doing things, I think you have a right to be able to hear how's God using that. So we got a pretty good sense tonight of what God's been doing through his people here. Thank you for that. And that just prepares us now for doing it again. So we'll pass out the budget and ballots and...